All right. I think this thing is on. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody. Classic. It's always, I don't know what it is about doing the same thing twice. It's funny. People do that. So anyway, good morning. Welcome to Rock Valley. Lovely to see your smiling faces. And really, it's just so wonderful to get to fellowship this morning, this beautiful Sabbath morning. For those of you who are keeping count, there's a certain count that we've been doing since Passover and since Days of Unleavened Bread. What day are we on? 42. Yeah, that's right. I'm kind of a numbers guy. I like numbers, and so yeah, 42. I think it's a movie. Before it was a TV show. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I guess that's the answer to the question, the most important question in the world. The answer is 42. I don't know why that's significant, but if anybody's a big fan of that TV show or movie, then apparently it's a really big number. Hopefully that today's sermon is equally as big. So, okay. One other point of clarification. It says Dustin up there. We've been over this before, Dustin. Actually, somebody just asked me today, wait, is it Dustin or is it Dusty? I'm still trying to figure it out, honestly. Thank you. My friend Juan calls me Polvos, which is dusty or dust in Spanish. So Polvos, Polvoroso, Dusty, Dustin. Call me whatever you want, honestly. It doesn't matter. So what was that? Hey you. There you go. Cool. So anyway, as we've been doing this count, we've been talking about freedom. Pastor David's been going over the last several weeks, and then Juan picked up where David left off last week. Freedom. Freedom from sin, freedom from fear, freedom from the sin of others, and the effect that can have on you. Really just freedom found in that transformation that is realized when we are walking in Christ Jesus. Freedom from strongholds. Freedom. It's actually a really powerful thing to desire and to want freedom. That's been God's heart towards us really from the very beginning. If you take a look at the story of the people of Israel back in Egypt, he wanted to set them free. And I think it's a very relatable message to us to want to be free from whatever it is that seems to be holding us back, right? With that, I want to go somewhere, and this isn't where we're going to dwell most of the time on, but it's certainly where I want to start, just to make a quick point. Go to the book of Luke. And we're going to go to Luke chapter 11. And I believe it's in verse 24. Luke chapter 11, 24. So, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of the man is worse than the first. So this is a kind of interesting parable that Jesus just kind of throws out there amongst some other parables. And once again, this isn't going to be the focus of the message, but the point that I want to make, just kicking us off, is I have found in life it is so easy for us to want to focus on the problems, or to focus on the sin and give such weight to, oh man, I just want to be free from the sin. I just want to be free from this bondage. I just want to be free from this stronghold. I just want to be free from this hurt that somebody has done against me that I just really am having a hard time overcoming. And we've got beautiful tools and powerful tools for overcoming these things. And hopefully in Christ and through the power of God, we can realize that freedom. But then the question is, what do we do from there? And the little lesson that Jesus is teaching us here, we have to be very careful with what we do with ourselves, what we put in us, once we do realize that freedom. Because the reality is, it is possible to be freed from anything that is holding us down. It is possible to be freed from the sin or the bondage, the strongholds, the hurts, the damaging things in our lives. It is possible. And Lord knows, not only is it possible, it will happen time and time and time again. But then what? But then what? Because what God is teaching us here is, if all we focused on is that, and then that is now removed from our lives, and we don't fill the house up with other things, if basically we just leave it in order, basically it makes us susceptible to falling into the same patterns, the same things that we needed to be free from in the first place. And not only that, but the state of the man was worse than he was originally. Just think about that for a second. It's not just about being free, but it's about being free for a purpose. And what is that purpose? The next place that we're going to go is John chapter 15. So John chapter 15, and I'm going to read through basically starting at verse 1 all the way through verse 8 right now. This is, of course, Jesus talking, red letters, if you got them. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciple. So here, what do we see? Well, in short, what we see is Jesus giving us kind of the answer to this, right? This, what does it mean to not only seek freedom, but what should we be pursuing? And the answer is, in so many words, to abide in Christ Jesus. And I want to read verse 5 again. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. Do we believe that? I mean, it's easy to say, I believe it, right? But do we actually believe it? Is this reflected in our lives on a random Tuesday? Or, you know, Taco Tuesday? Or, you know, Monday night, or just any given day or time during the week? Is this reflected in our lives? And I don't know about you, but I know for me, sometimes it's easy to say, I believe this, but then when it comes down to practicing it, I don't necessarily always walk as if I believe it, because it's so easy to try to white knuckle and try to bear fruit by myself. But the answer that Jesus is giving us is, that's not how you go about doing it. You actually, if you want to bear fruit, the only way to bear fruit, to do good, is to abide in me. So what does this word abide mean? So the word abide actually just simply means to remain or simply t- to be. It's a state of being. To remain, you could say to remain in a physical place. So one translation very well could be something like, we are all abiding here in this church right now. To abide in a state pertaining to time, to just to be. To be in his presence and to be with him, or just to be. And it's also really just a state of being in general. If you could picture yourself just being in a place mentally, spiritually, physically, right there, that is what abiding is. So what Jesus is talking about here is he's saying, I want you to be in me. I want you to remain in me. So how do you do that? How do you remain in Christ Jesus? Well, let me ask you this. Is it possible to remain in Christ Jesus if you are not spending time with him? No. Probably not, right? I want to say thank you to Kim and the worship team today and the message that she brought. She actually said something very similar to what was on my heart, is it, if you think about the people who are closest to you in your lives, and oftentimes if you're married, it's going to be your spouse, or ought to be maybe your best friend. If you don't spend time with your spouse, then you're going to have a hard time having communion with them, doing life with them, doing all the things that you ought to. But from a practical perspective, certainly one thing that you won't be doing is abiding with them. So I can't help but beg the question here first, and the point number one here in this is, are we spending time with Jesus? Or in other words, are we making space for God in our lives? I found time and again that when the focus is on the sin, when the focus is on the problems in our lives, the hurdles that we're trying to overcome, the sickness or the pain, whatever the case may be, when the focus is on there, then those things actually become really big deals. But if you just take a second and step back and force yourself to abide in Christ, force yourself to remain and to be in him. And it doesn't matter where you are. Oftentimes, if you could just take a few minutes, take a second and walk with God and sit there and be with him and focus on him, then the actual problems don't seem so bad after you get to spending time with him. I talk about this as the time during the feast. And basically any time during the feast. If you've ever been to the Feast of Tabernacles, it's a beautiful time, right? It's basically 8 days of spending time with your closest friends, with your family, and with God. And it's 8 days full of worshiping him. It's 8 days full of just pouring yourself into him in service and love. Oftentimes it's full of just feasting and a lot of food and hanging out. Maybe there's spontaneous prayer. Maybe there's worship nights. It's beautiful. And I, in talking with one of my friends, I'm thinking of in specific, what the beautiful thing is when you're in that time and you take a step back and realize where you are and what you're doing, it's actually, it almost feels impossible to be dragged down by sin. And it almost feels impossible to be dragged down by the worries of this world or by the anxieties of life, or let the hurts that hold you down or the strongholds that weigh you down have any impact, because in that moment, whether you like it or not, it's basically impossible not to abide in Jesus. And so many, I think there's actually legitimately a term that we use. It's called the feast high. And I think what that is from a practical perspective is what we are forced to abide with Jesus and abide in him for this chunk of time, fellowshipping with one another, praying with one another, and you're left feeling just cloud nine. That's the only way to put it, right? You're left feeling like you're at the happiest place on earth. Only happier. Disneyland ain't got nothing on the feast by day eight, right? So what happens is you come back from the feast, and similarly to the feast high, it's almost like there's a crash, and people talk about like, oh, I'm not looking forward to getting back to work. I'm not looking forward to getting back to real life. I'm just going to miss you guys so much. I'm going to miss this so much. Why does it have to be that way? Why does it have to be that for this one time of year that many of us know what it feels like to abide in Jesus consistently and have that? Why can't we carry that? And I'm not saying that we don't. I don't want to project that onto anybody here. Maybe many of us are very good at that. But to give us a very tangible, practical example of what that looks like, abiding with Jesus is something that we don't need to do just once a year at the Feast of Tabernacles in Utah or Marietta or Texas or wherever you go. It's something that we can do, and not only can do, but ought to do every single day. And every moment can be a spiritual moment for us. It could be something as simple as driving to work or driving to the grocery store. Or maybe your family's down, you're done with work, and you've got a few moments, and instead of pursuing whatever it is that you like to do with your free time, pouring a spot of your favorite drink or watching a TV show, watching a movie, listening to a podcast, maybe instead that time is meant to make space for God. And I can't help but wonder if we did this consistently, if I did this as consistently as I could in my life, how much more different my life would look like in terms of being able to bear the fruit that Jesus is talking about here. I'd like to continue here. We're going to read verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So this is fascinating. It's almost like a part two to what Jesus is talking about here. Of course, Jesus talks about the benefits of abiding in him. He talks about bearing fruit. He talks about even going so far as to say, if you abide in him and the words that abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Really powerful stuff here. But then he says kind of the same thing, but then he changes the tune a little bit. And it's not just abiding in him, but it's abiding in his love. And at the end of the day, why do you think that is? Why do you think that Jesus made it a point not just to stop here and saying abide in me, but also abiding in his love? And what does he say? He says, abide in my love, or I also have loved you, abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So it's tricky. If you were reading that just at face value, you might think, okay, so I need to obey God and keep his commandments to abide in his love. But that's actually not what Jesus is saying here explicitly, because he literally just said, if you want to bear fruit in the first place, you need to abide in me. So he's not saying you need to do all these things in order to abide in my love and to abide in me. But it's almost like one is self-perpetuating the other. If you believe in me, if you make time for me, if you abide in me, then the consequence of that is you will be able to bear much fruit. You will be able to obey me and keep my commandments in that, founded in love. And then in that, you will be able to abide in my love. And what value is love? How important is love? love actually legitimately happens to be everything. If you turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13, so this is Paul, and he's of course touching on love. This is often called the love chapter. Though I speak with tongues, 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I've become a clanging brass or a clanging cymbal. I could be speaking a heavenly language if I literally wanted the gifts of the Spirit. If I don't have love, the sound is worthless. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. Now, I don't know about you guys, but if I saw somebody who literally had faith to move a mountain, like literally saw it, just imagine this. Juan gets up and he's able to say, mountain, move, and the mountain moves. We would all be like, whoa, that's incredible, right? Like, that'd be really cool. But if Juan didn't have, thank you, Juan. Yeah, put it back now. There you go. But if you have not love, it literally says that you are nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my life or give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. You could sell everything that you have and give it to the poor. You could literally give your life to be burnt for the sake of somebody else or just in general. And if you don't have love, it's worth nothing. It's worth absolutely nothing. And then real quickly, 1 John chapter 3. It's easy to remember this one because John 3:16 is so popular. So this is a John 3:16. It's 1 John 3:16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. So you see, the picture of love here is laying down your life for your brethren as Christ laid down his life. And what's really interesting about this, if you go back to John chapter 15, and you keep on reading. So let's pick it up here. John chapter 15, we just read in verse 10, this would be like a part B. You will abide in my love just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend. So at the end of the day, this is what we're striving for. We're striving to abide in Christ, make space for God, and really abide in his love and look for opportunities to love those around us. I know it sounds fluffy and it sounds cliche, but the reality is, if we actually legitimately spent our time focusing on these things, and I'm saying from a practical perspective, if we did this every single day, made this a part of our daily routine, and it wouldn't be hard, right? You wake up, and what do? You make space for God. You close your eyes and you say, God, I love you. Thank you that I woke up today. Thank you for everything that you do. Help me to focus on you today. Help me to stay centered on you today. Give me opportunities to love those around me today. Thank you, and I love you. Amen. And that's how you start your day, every day. And then as you go about your day, you look for opportunities to actually remain in Christ. Just look for opportunities to be in him and with him throughout the day and focus on him. Maybe instead of going to your phone, you take that opportunity to pray. Hey, God, just want to say thank you for the breath that I have today. I want to keep you first. Maybe when you get that spare few minutes, you just make it a point to get in that habit. I actually tried doing that this weekend in preparation for this. I guess not this weekend, but the week leading up until this. You know the number of times that I went to go just look at my phone for no reason? Like literally no reason. Like it's kind of crazy how much I just look at my phone. I don't even want to look at the screen time. I've got a friend that looks at his screen time actively and uses that as like a KPI for his life to say, this is how I'm doing. I need to do this less because it's taking up too much time. It's inspiring to me, but from a practical perspective, imagine if we just looked at our phone half as much or spent half as much time with God as we did looking at our phone, right? Imagine the impact that would have on our lives. And I know just the concept of thinking about looking for opportunities to abide in Christ. And from there, realizing the benefits of getting to bear the fruit that he has for us. The converse, and this is kind of the consequence. This isn't necessarily to strike fear or anything like that, but I'd be remiss if I didn't underscore this as well. If you take a look at verse 6, actually we'll start in verse 5, and once again, John 15:5. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Great. We've gone over that many times. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. So there's the flip side of it. If you're not abiding in Jesus, then what Jesus is showing us here is that there's potentially a consequence to that. And I'm not going to dive into that any more than just speak Jesus' words for what they are and underscore them and saying the point that Jesus is showing us, it's really important to look to abide to him. And what that looks like is going to be different for each one of us. Some of us have more free time than others. Others of us have full-time jobs and like four kids and have a hard time just staying afloat most of the time. But I know that God is faithful with us, and if we are faithful with what we have and faithful with what we can give to him, he is the one that provides the increase. He is the one that bears the fruit. He is the one that does the work, and all we need to do is make space for him. So let this be an encouragement to us today to make space for God, to seek to abide in Christ, and let the fruit that God has really just be brought forth in our lives. Amen. Amen.